spent the next hour loading a squawking, indignant chorus of penguins onto a bus. We're taking you back to console. You can practice there, I promise. Other people need to use this rink, Sid. And fielding calls from an increasingly confused list of spouses and significant others. Should I just drive him to the arena? Caroline Dupuis asked. We have an old car seat. I think he would fit. She'd taken a picture of a penguin splashing around in a bathtub, presumably at the Dupuis house, and sent it to Sidney's phone, along with the message, Help! Quickly followed by, I think my husband just turned into a penguin. And then, almost a half an hour later, He's eating all the tuna in the freezer. What should I do? Mario had grabbed Sid's phone from the locker room before they left the Isoplex, and he'd called Caroline back as soon as he saw the messages. The ensuing conversation had undoubtedly been the strangest of Mario's life thus far, although it was immediately superseded by a frantic call from Oli, who apparently had Sid's number on speed dial and had managed to unlock his phone with only his beak, only to peep desperately into the speaker. We'll send someone around to pick you up, Mario said, trying to sound fatherly and reassuring. The peeping softened into something less terrified. By then, it was obvious that the entire team was affected, not just the players who'd been at the Isoplex for practice. On the way back to console, Mario worked his way through the depressingly long list of his injured players, checking in with friends and family members and praying that no one had been driving to the grocery store when the transformation struck. By the time Mario had smuggled a small army of penguins into the building, straggling chicks and all, he'd heard back from everyone on the current roster. Everyone was fine, except for the fact that they'd all spontaneously turned into birds. Small blessings, Mario reminded himself. Small blessings. The coaches and staff were handling themselves well, all things considered. Jen looked like she'd taken a puck to the stomach by the time Mario finished explaining everything to her. We play the Flyers on Wednesday, she said blankly. And Sid has 3 interviews scheduled. But she promised to keep the media away. Johnston, meanwhile, had dumped a bag of pucks on the ice and told the team to figure out how to move them without sticks or opposable thumbs. Gary had been dispatched to the nearest grocery store to buy enough food for 20-odd penguins of mixed size and indeterminate species. Fish, he was muttering as he left the arena, scrolling frantically on his phone. Lots of fish. Maybe squid? Does Whole Foods sell squid? The penguins seemed determined to keep themselves busy. By the time Gary returned, lugging several enormous grocery bags, they were working on line changes. They'd quickly given up on getting over the boards, but one of the penguins, who squawked indignantly every time a puck got too close, so Mario privately suspected either Flower or Grice, had been stationed at the bench door, keeping it propped open by leaning his whole weight against it. Mario's suspicions were confirmed when Catherine finally arrived at the arena, carrying Penguin Tanger. Flower immediately abandoned his door-holding duties to slide across the rink at high speed to meet them. Tanger squirmed down onto the ice, and the two of them tumbled together, making high-pitched noises and nudging each other affectionately. Catherine immediately pulled her phone out and began recording. She seemed surprisingly cheerful for someone whose boyfriend was currently feathered and belly-flopping on the ice. When Mario asked her how she was doing, she said, Well, it's not the strangest thing that's ever happened to us. Mario opened his mouth to ask, and then thought better of it. And he's probably happier right now than he's been since the concussion. It's been a tough few weeks. They watched, standing side by side, as Tanger was surrounded by a huddle of fluffy defensemen. Within a few minutes, he was scratching plays on the ice with his claws. The smaller penguins watched intently, silent except for a few questioning peeps. To think that last night Mario had been losing sleep over the salary cap. Maybe Catherine had a point. As long as the transformations were only temporary, and Mario was certain that they were, confident for reasons he couldn't possibly articulate, what was the worst that could happen? They would miss a handful of games. Maybe they would miss the playoffs. But the season had been so dizzyingly unlucky, it was hard for him to be too disappointed. As long as they could get to the off-season without losing anyone else to illness or injury, Mario wouldn't complain. Still, canceling their scheduled games would be a nightmare. There were the broadcasts to consider, and commercial revenues, and ticket sales, to say nothing of the mess it would make of the league's schedule. Oh, look! Catherine pointed at Penguin Gino, who was nudging a puck over to Sid. Sid looked contemplatively down at the proffered gift, poked at it once, and then settled decisively on top of it. Gino puffed his chest out a little, looking pleased. They're so sweet. I bet you could sell tickets just to watch them slide around on the rink. She was right, Mario realized. And just like that, a plan snapped into place, like a perfect play unfolding on the ice. He needed to start making calls. With any luck, the Flyers wouldn't know what had hit them.